Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
It does come down to, like you said, those individuals, those departments who ultimately have to figure out, okay, well, who gets charged? How do people get charged? How long do they stay? It's a lot of parties that have to come together for something like this.
I'm Sarah Fenske. On Tuesday, the administration of St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones announced the workhouse is closing, kind of. The place, better known as the Medium Security Institution, holds people too poor to post bail before trial. It's long been in the sight of local activists who say the conditions inside are hellish. But closure has drawn pushback from various constituencies across the city, and the plan Public Safety Director Dan Isom shared with the Board of Aldermen Tuesday does not completely close the facility, not yet. And joining us today with the details is St. Louis Public Radio reporter Chad Davis. Chad, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
So, Chad, you listened to this entire meeting on Tuesday, a long one. When Director Dan Isom said the workhouse will close, what specifically did he mean by that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So really what he was talking about is a contingency plan for if the City Justice Center does become overcrowded. So currently what they're doing is they're transferring inmates from the workhouse to the City Justice Center, which is a downtown jail. And that right now has caused some controversy among other Alder people and other city leaders about how quickly people are being moved, and then also what this means for the staff who are there at the Justice Center and for the inmates. So really what he was explaining was while all of the inmates will be moved to the Justice Center, what they're going to do is they're going to place people, if it does become overcrowded, into one area of the workhouse, and they will be, you know, treated there with staff, and they'll be in like one pod of the workhouse specifically. So that's the plan that they're working on if, in fact, the Justice Center does become overcrowded with inmates.
So the building is not being fully closed at this point, but all the people who have been housed there, the plan is to get them moved out.
Correct.
And what kind of timeline are they on to get them out of that facility?
Well, they're hoping at least, I want to say probably, it was discussed, I think, on Tuesday, and then I think maybe even last week. But really, by July 1st, they want the workhouse to be completely closed. But I think the initial plan was to have all 51, I think there were 51 inmates still at the workhouse, is to get them moved by this week, maybe even today. So we'll learn more about that. There is going to be an actual press conference later on today where they're going to talk about the plans and the closure. But at least by the end of the month, that is the plan, to have them all out and have the workhouse completely closed, what we have right now.
So people will not be permanently housed there. They may still use this pod. This would be a pod when there's overflow, and also just in cases of transition, shorter stays. Is that the implication?
Well, what they described primarily what that workhouse pod will be used for is for inmates who are potentially awaiting or need to be transferred back to other jurisdictions. So when they describe that, they're talking about, all right, inmates or people who maybe were from another county, another municipality, whether that be in St. Louis area or surrounding counties, wherever, and they need to be housed somewhere. So that means they could be housed at a facility in the pod at the workhouse. Also, it could mean people who are waiting judge processing or court processing. So people who are still waiting that, and then people who need to be transferred out to other areas, they may be housed in that pod. And the way that Jeffrey Carson, who is the interim corrections commissioner, he mentioned that number could very well, you know, skyrocket or balloon depending on how many people that you have from other jurisdictions who need to be transferred back. So having the workhouse or having that one pod specifically available should help with the overflow if that's in fact needed.
And so everybody else, other than people in those conditions you just outlined or that ballooning of the population, they are going to the City Justice Center. Now, you and I both know that City Justice Center has also been in the headlines. There has been some incidents of unrest there. There's a lawsuit that's alleging that it too has some hellish conditions.
Right.
Did the administration address the problems that exist with that jail where it's now moving more people?
Yeah, so They noted a few things. First of all, with the City Justice Center, as you said, there is a lawsuit about the conditions there. But for one of the things that they were talking about is when they move some of the staff from the workhouse to the City Justice Center, they hope that will actually help out with some of the staffing issues that are occurring there. So Carson did mention that it will still be short staffed, but by moving a lot of the workhouse staff members to the City Justice Center, they hope that'll help out. But they will still be short staffed by maybe about 30 to 40 people, potentially. The other thing they mentioned was the locks, which we know has been an issue over the past few months, where there have been uprisings where inmates have, complained about conditions there and have damaged the locks. So I believe that was on the third floor of the Justice Center. Two of the cells that house people there, two of the pods, are currently down and they are offline for maintenance. And then you do have two other pods on that third floor that can house people. So that is all being, those two pods will still be used, and then the other two pods are being repaired. That could, I believe, take up to a year overall to maybe fix those. But yeah, they're taking those offline. Repairing. The other two are repaired currently, and then the other two are being repaired.
And the city's belief is that without a major influx into people coming into its need for pretrial detention, that there is room in the City Justice Center for everybody.
Well, right now they say that, they hope that, it can be manageable, or that the population can be managed. Carson mentioned that it'll be at about 90% capacity, the City Justice Center will be, once the 51 inmates are moved in. So one thing that Dr. Isom, who's the interim public safety director, mentioned was a big focus of the administration is to work on the number, or work on that population that they have. So making sure that inmates who are there are, or that they focus on the people who are, violent offenders, or the people who are, arrested for violent crimes, murder, other things of that nature. So by managing that, they're hoping that they can manage the number of people who are there, and that they won't go over that 90%. And if they do, then that's when the pod at the workhouse comes in that they could use.
So much of that is not fully under the control of the mayor's office, if at all under the control of the mayor's office. It all comes back to Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, and the public defender's office has pointed to her as a bottleneck in this system, that people are not getting charged quickly enough and they're lingering in there. Do we know if she's weighed in, or if she's a part of these plans they have to try to process faster?
Well, I don't have anything directly from Circuit Attorney Gardner, but and it was also an issue that some Alder people brought up as well, and Dr. Isom addressed. So while I don't have anything from them, but what Isom brought up was, well, that is an issue, definitely, that you have the court system, you have a police department, you have all of these players that are in place that have to figure out a way to make sure that the most, the people who are accused of violent crimes and such are prioritized. So he said that's an ongoing process that is something that, of course, requires a lot of work between so many different departments and so many different parties within the city. But it does come down to, like you said, those individuals, those departments who ultimately have to figure out, okay, well, who gets charged? How do people get charged? How long do they stay? It's a lot of parties that have to come together for something like this.
For sure. So Mayor Tashara Jones, she was very clear in her campaign that she wanted to close this workhouse. She won this election. Elections have consequences. There's still a lot of people who have been second-guessing this decision. We heard on Twitter from Tom, who writes, quote, artificial timelines not based on anything other than political campaign promises do not lead to the best result for those intended to be helped. Federal detainees being sent to Kentucky or a crowded, poorly maintained City Justice Center is not a net benefit of any kind, and it's an indefensible decision. I know aldermen have voiced some similar concerns. Is that kind of the gist of what they're saying? This is too fast?
Yeah, a lot of alder people have criticized the plan, or there are several who have really criticized how if a July 1st timeline will work. I know they brought up the Kentucky issue. Some inmates have been transferred over to, I believe, Louisville, Kentucky area, or Indiana and Kentucky area right now.
Just because there hasn't been quite enough room for them.
Right.
When we consolidate.
Right, exactly. So, older people have expressed concern. They said that the July 1st timeline is an issue, and they're wondering if people will be, or if the safety of inmates and safety of correctional officers will be put in jeopardy. So I think the city's idea of having a contingency plan or having a plan to, okay, we'll keep one pod open, is something that some of the alder people in the meeting seemed to express some satisfaction, or at least they said that they were, somewhat for that idea of having at least another space in the event that it does become overcrowded. And that, correctional officers and other people who are incarcerated do have another space where they can be in the event of such a situation.
And rank and file corrections workers, do we know their perspective on this?
Well, we had a union representative, Jeff Hans, who was there, and he's a representative for corrections officers, I believe, with the St. Louis KC Carpenters region. And he had mentioned that corrections officers are concerned about their safety, and that corrections officers are concerned that this could lead to some overcrowding. So part of his statement at the Tuesday meeting was he was asking that, it not be closed so quickly. He was saying he wasn't necessarily saying that that the workout shouldn't be closed, but he did state that, it could be too quick, and that the people that he represents, are also going through issues where they're leaving, they're also getting out of the workhouse, they're leaving the workhouse jail because necessarily they don't want to move to the CJC and things of that nature. So he did express some of those concerns.
So you mentioned there's going to be a press briefing pretty soon after this show here today. I know you're going to that. What are you hoping to learn as you continue to push into this issue?
I think details on timeline is something that people are looking at, whether it's an indefinite situation where the pod will stay open, what will that mean? And then also just kind of about who necessarily, who will be at the workhouse and how long they'll be there. So, I think it kind of depends. One thing that Dr. Isom says, if they're from a jurisdiction, it can take a while for another jurisdiction to take those prisoners or to take those inmates and bring them back. So what will that look like? I think those are probably the biggest questions for what comes out of this.
Well, I know you're going to stay on this story, and it sounds like there's a good chance there'll be another story on our website this evening.
Right,
you're going to be busy today.
We'll see, probably, though, yeah.
So for more on this issue, you can get Chad's reporting. That's stlpr.org. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Chad Davis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here. If you learned something new from today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it. Thank you. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.